Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, and Justin is on assignment this week. He'll be back, I think, next week, and so we'll be able to catch up with him and learn about his experiences and learn more about the world of entrepreneurship and channel partners and all that fancy millennial Generation Z business stuff that he knows about, which is really cool, really cool, really cool. So, well, as promised, we have a wonderful guest with us here today, and she is just a solid individual, and is an emerging coach and does some coaching and consulting, but I definitely want to get her on the show today so everybody could get to know her, and then later on go to her Instagram page and watch her as her practice grows. So without further ado, we have Joy Nash with us today. Joy, how's it going?
Hi, Bruce. How are you? I'm doing awesome today. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, okay. So talk a little bit about yourself, kind of introduce yourself to our listeners and everything, and talk a little bit about your background and what are some of the influences that got you into the work that you're doing now.
Well, pretty much, I'm a 50-year-old single mother of three beautiful children. I have two boys and a girl, 15, 14, and 11 years of age. I was born in Providence, Rhode Island, a little estate in the Union, and moved to South Florida 21 years ago. I've been a fitness coach, personal trainer, all the way back to, I was like, my first client was when I was 19 years old. And I basically, from that experience, I really got into, really, really focusing on helping people to achieve their goals. But to get even more into, about myself, goes back way back when I was, a young child, like as young as 10, 11, I had a good friend in the neighborhood that was into exercising, her and her brothers. And I remember seeing this, you know, the exercise and the strength, but I started looking at the muscle magazines, Muscle and Fitness, Arnold, and, you know, all those, Corey Everson. And I was reading the articles, and I was so inspired by their stories and the health and fitness. And I was still a little bit young to start doing weightlifting, but I really, really catapulted into the exercise when I moved out from a really good middle-class neighborhood with my grandparents and my mother. That was not a nice neighborhood. It had a lot of crime, prostitution, drugs. And I found myself, I had to protect myself. And that kind of went right into, you know, with weightlifting from what I read, and I could see that source of strength. And I asked my mom when I was 13 years old, Mom, can you get me a weight set and some mats? And she listened to me, and she bought me all my weights and my mat. And there I went from then on. I just, it really helped me so much in my confidence and holding my own as far as being a strong person, you know. And then, so like I said, getting into personal training when I was like 19 years old. And from then on, I just kept continuing on with training people. And then later on, I went into getting my license when I moved to Florida. No sooner moved here, I went to get my associate's degree in natural health and advanced massage therapy to help people in that area as well. And that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Well, sounds like one of your assets is your ability to be with people. You know, I mean, just the presence that you have and being a continuous, I'm gonna say a force for good. You know what I mean? I think I remember you telling me a little bit about a friend of yours that eventually through your consistency got help for her addiction and really turned a corner in her life. You want to talk a little bit about that relationship that you had there?
Actually, yes, that was like a really big turning point for me as far as coming into the light of being a life coach. I met my friend when our children were just little, both my son and her daughter was in a kindergarten. And at that time in my life, I wasn't doing well. I was out of shape and I let myself go mentally, physically, and spiritually. I was in a decline. And I actually met her, but I'm still was always a bubbly person, like always. And little by little, we started, you know, chiseling away, talking to her, you know, building that friendship. And I never knew why she was so inverted and quiet and didn't want to bother with anybody. She was actually an alcoholic. And also, she has epilepsy. And at the time I met her, she had brain damage on both of her sides of her brain because of an epidural. So she had both things going on. And as I got to know her more and more, I didn't really realize the alcoholism until I started knowing her. And I said, you know, I got to pick up her kids from school. So I went on to like 4 years of picking her children up, bringing them to her home, watching her children, and then going on to my life back at home with at the time I was married with my ex-husband. And I did that for 4 years, at least till she came to a place of almost dying. And in that process, I just encouraged her. I didn't get after her. I was just loving on her and just distilling good things into her and encouraging her and taking care of her kids. And in the process, when she hit rock bottom, she, like I said, almost died. It was at that point in her life, she started to change. She had to make it or break it. And at that point, she bounced back to 100%, where she's like 6 years of drug-free, alcohol-free. And she's doing meetings. And she started working out. We started working out together. We started doing things together. Even though I was kind of in a better place than her, I was growing with her, you know, by helping her. So it was a very interesting journey. Like even today, we're going to do before and afters. We're going to start doing some videos together, talking about her experiences, my experiences, and our before and afters. Because now she's running triathlons. She's running marathons. I mean, we meet each other down the beach and we run together, you know, we exercise together and we sit and we talk about amazing things that, I mean, back then I never thought would be imaginable that either one of us would be in the place we are now. So it was seeing that transformation in her life. It was like really inspiring to me that I had it in me to help people. You know, and that's what it's all about. We're not here to just help ourselves. We're not here. That's the problem. Why people are so empty. We're here to help others. And helping others, we help ourselves. We grow even more so by helping other people. And I get such great joy between fitness, educating people with fitness, and like most of my, actually all my clients are seniors. And I take fitness and health and massage and I work it, I integrate it with them. And the progress I see even the little baby steps I take them with just movement or taking them in the pool is amazing. I mean, just to see them and not in pain, or to move a certain way that they couldn't move, or to sleep better, it's beyond words. And it's so rewarding that I just want to do more for people. And that's my main goal in my life, to help others.
And I'm glad that you, I think the most, you know, like you said, you were there for that person, you were present, you know, for that person, for a long time. And through that positivity, you know what I mean? You and I had a chat before and about how sometimes, you know, it's all too tempting to say, hey, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. You know what I mean? But yet through your more positive psychology approach, right, that person got help, and you were a real big part of that getting help process.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes it just takes to being a good listener, you know, and listening to them and encouraging them. And like I said, you know, we were talking about don't use the don'ts and you can't, you know, just trying to implement healthy habits little by little. You know, let's go for a walk. Let's get outside. Let's do something, you know. That really matters, you know, to people when they're, you know, in that situation, rather than just, what are you doing? Are you doing this? You know, or let's do this. And why aren't you doing that? Instead, it's an act of love and compassion, and just seeing where that person is and meeting them there, you know,
right,
really makes a big difference.
Right. And I think that's one of the big differences between like coaching and counseling or psychotherapy, right? Because with the counselor or the psychotherapist, we're kind of more dialed into the presenting complaint or the presenting problem, and trying to focus on some sort of a problem versus the other, right, where you're just present and there and kind of going with the person and going with what the person's needs are in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's sometimes the beginning of it, you know, the most important element.
It's a very important element. And so if you want, I mean, maybe share with the listeners a little bit, I mean, what you've had to, sounds like you came out of some challenging times, let's say. And if you want to go into that for a little bit, you know what I mean? It sounds like you had to rise above some things to get where you are today.
Oh, absolutely. I won't get into too much depth into it, but I'll be sharing more on my website, different stories and stuff like that. But I started, like I said, working out when I was 13, always physically fit and positive for the most part. And I moved to Florida when I was in my late mid-20s and pretty much was by myself here, doing my thing with school and such, and got married a little bit later. Had three beautiful children, married for 14 years, and found myself and stuck where I was with children. I had no time for myself. I lost touch with who I was, my identity, and I was miserable. Not being able to work out was, I'd say, one of the worst things. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. Partly, of course, having three children, busy all the time, you know, no time to myself. It was a big enough challenge. But just my mental, my mind, being that I started becoming secluded, away from the world, where I didn't have any friends and I was just children and myself. And that was a dangerous place. It's very dangerous because my mind, the worst of the thoughts was in there, just coming at me. And I had no one around me to help support me, to give any kind of support. And yes, I listened to church on TV, you know, and positive messages, but that wasn't enough. And being around children constantly with no break, it was a lot of stress. And I found myself losing that ability to even move out of my situation. And people would say, well, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? It crippled me to the point where I wanted to do things, but I couldn't. I didn't have that confidence. My self-worth was destroyed. I got to the point, what am I living for? Yes, I have children, but I was in such a dark place. And it took a man in my neighborhood, because I lived near the beach, that I used to walk down the beach. Actually, that was a big therapy for me. I used to bring my children down the beach every single day. And I think that really kept me a lot grounded a lot, just to go down the beach. And he invited me to a church service. It was like a little event, an autumn fest. And I said, okay, I'll go. It's not that far away. And it was at that point, that's when I started building some relationships, meeting women, that other men, women with children, and starting to hear positive messages, things that fed my soul, and slowly breaking me out of that mindset and giving me hope. And then I became hungrier for more. And I started praying about that. And I was down the beach, 4th of July, and I ran into an old friend. And she started bringing me to her church, which at that point was another level that I was ready for. And that's when I really started breaking off a lot of oppression and depression. And my mind started getting more transformed and realizing that I had worth, that I have a future, that I am somebody. And it took, you know, it wasn't overnight. It was a lot of work. But little by little, more and more just aggressively sticking to meditating and praying and going to church and being around positive people started breaking me free from all of those things that were holding me back. And I got divorced, I'd say, 4 years ago. I got to a point in my life where I made a plan. And I made that plan, and within a year, I executed it. And I started working. I got a divorce. I moved out. And I started a whole new life for me and my children. And it was definitely, God had a big part of it, and the friends that were surrounding me. And of course, it took me working on it. It took me working on it, and I'm still working on it. But when I look at myself back then to now, I'm like, it's amazing. I'm two different people. I don't tolerate what I would tolerate before. I don't think of the things that I would think of, you know, and I'm really happy, and I want to do that for others. I want to help other people to be set free from those mindsets, from that captivity, because it's really a terrible place to be, that darkness. And, you know, it's so easy for us to judge on the outside, you know, why didn't you do this? And why aren't you doing that? And why you should have done that? But you got to understand that mind, the brain, you know, if you're not putting stuff and replacing that mindset, nothing's going to change around us.
That's a great point. I mean, and you got to, you know, thought replacement with those, you know, replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that not everybody has positive people that they can go around, you know, that they can be with to get affirmation or validation. Like you said,
absolutely.
You know, I'm not speaking for you, but I'm speaking, you know, there's a lot of people that are trapped in a bad relationship or a bad marriage, and they got kids, and they, you know, they're kind of isolated or cut off from other family or whatever. And then, man, that's it. And they're just kind of stuck. Mm-mm. And if that person that's around them is feeding them negativity and like you're a piece of crap and you're a terrible person and you're this and you're that and you're the other, then you're gonna, right, that self-fulfilling prophecy, the person mm-hmm. might have believed in those thoughts. And so, right, I think that was so great that you have, you know, that spiritual component, you have, you know, God to kind of, I don't want to say fill the gap because that would be a horrible thing to say, but you know what I mean, to really, I guess that's kind of the truth, right? I mean, because it sounds
it's
like
co-laboring. It's co-laboring with God. You know, God gave us the gifts. He gave us the abilities. He gives us the tools, but we have to work with him, you know, in the process.
Right. I mean, but exactly. Did you feel also, though, that when you were in the lowest point of your self-worth, that it was that relationship with God? I mean, that knowing that God doesn't make mistakes and here you are and you're living and breathing and, you know, have children and et cetera. You know what I mean? Was that a jump start for you in terms of helping build back self-worth?
Oh, absolutely. Because when, as I said, as it progressively, I started saying, it was like I was in a spell. Like I was under a spell. And I was like, you know, the spell broke and said, wait a minute, I got three beautiful children. I'm healthy. You know, I'm not an alcoholic or drug, so thank God I never went into that route. But absolutely, totally. It really, really helped to move forward. Is having God in my life and working with him, you know.
Right. Exactly. And not being afraid to say that. You know what I mean? I think I had a client come to me last week, and you know, they came in for help. They're just in a super rocky spot, and there's a lot I can do to help them with their situation, but I asked, it was actually a couple, and I asked them about their, you know, well, gosh, what their understanding of God is. Holy cow, man, they're just like, nope, not going there, not doing it, you know. You have all this other training in psychology and coaching, and that's what we're going to lean on. I'm just like, oh, wow, that puts me in a bad spot. You know what I mean? but I didn't say it like that, but I'm definitely going to try to do what I can to introduce them to some, you know, concepts and, where they can develop what, you know, their understanding of God and moving forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, and look, that's not popular. I mean, that's not a popular, for many people, you know what I mean? They'll come to a coach because they were alienated by a church or they were religiously abused. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very careful to make sure that, and I know you are too. You meet your clients
absolutely.
Exactly where they're at.
Absolutely. And your God can be, you know, it's your higher power. You know, you look at the 12 steps. I mean, you have to submit to a higher power. You know, you don't have that power and ability to even put down that drink without God's, you know, help. You have to humble yourself. You have to come to a place that you're at the end of yourself. That you got to reach out to help. Because if you don't reach out to God, you got to reach out to someone. So you have to sit, you have to humble yourself to someone or something. So, and like I said, whoever your God is, your higher power, is a main source, you know.
I love what you just said there, but you got to humble yourself to something or someone or something, but there's a lot of truth to that. And in the interim, when we have life struggles, guess what? You know what I mean? Those life struggles can be the focus of our lives and the things that are holding us, right? That have the power on us, right? Somebody's anger, somebody's depression, somebody's negative self-worth, you know what I mean? And it's that very circumstance that might have the stranglehold on the individual. And as coaches, we try to come in there and get them, but ask questions so that they may be able to see some other ideas. You know, what would they like to look like? What would you like to think? What would you like to be running through your head? What would you like to look like? What would you like to be doing? You know, just even some visualization, and then, you know, going from there, taking steps, and then following up with accountability, you know, and, everybody's got to be accountable to somebody. And
exactly. And you just said the key word. Yeah. It's the accountability to someone or something. Like I said, you know, whatever it is, God, a person, or a thing, you're still going to have to be accountable to someone to get your help, even if it's a resource, you know. So you got to humble yourself. You got to come to the end of yourself and say, you know what? I got to do this. And I've always been the type of person, even more now than ever, that I don't back down to challenges. And I go head to head with whatever it takes to win. And even more so now than what I've been through. Because when I want to, like, even with the radio, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've spoken in front of people on stage, but not live radio. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it, you know? Do it, you know, not be afraid and just do it. And that's how I am. But it took my life experiences to get me to this place. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, and I think we all are a collection of our choices and decisions, and then that continues on today. You know, I love it when, you know, people. Somebody was telling me the other day about how worthless a psych degree is, and this and that, and all this liberal arts mumbo jumbo. And I'm like, hey, I'm a product of several psych degrees and liberal arts. You know? And they're like, oh, well, you're different. Like, no, I'm not. Like, it's those things that led me to be who I am and what I am today in terms of a coach and a father and, you know, and business owner and other roles, you know. And you can't I thought that was kind of cute, you know, but anyway. I think you have some real solid natural inclinations, and natural, and things that you've learned already through your prior relationships with folks and dealings with people. And so I think you're really you're really at a good point to take those relationships at the next level.
Oh, absolutely. And I've taken, you know, I love reading, I love learning. That's one thing that I spend a lot of time when my kids are in school or home, and I work for myself. So I have a lot of time, you know, to myself during the day. And I spend a lot of time in learning and reading, and I take classes. I go to different seminars. I spend a lot of time doing stuff like that because it's really helps me. Even if I get a little bit of something, it helps me, and I pass it along to other people, you know. It's always important to keep learning and not think you know everything.
And you know what? And enjoy the freedom you have to do that. I find myself working a lot, and the only time I'm reading is on an airplane, or if I'm somehow an airplane.
Oh my gosh! I don't know how I make the time. I don't know how I make the time, but I do.
No, it's good. I mean, I need to make a little bit more time for that myself, but yeah, that's kind of the first world problem of later on down the line when you're seeing a lot of folks and it's like, oh man, I got to do the show today. Like, of course, I do a show every week. You know what I mean? But anyway, I got to somehow fit in this funny. No, but I always remember the show. But well, good. Yeah, I think that you know, where you're headed is in a great direction. And do you think you'll continue to work with geriatric folks, or do you think you'll widen out a bit to just adults in general? What are your thoughts moving forward on?
Well, I'm leaving the massage therapy business. No, because as time goes on, a lot of my clients are in their 70s and 80s. And even though I love to do it, I know I'm going to the next level. And I want to reach people in a broader, like you said, broader. I'm building a website right now where I'll be covering not only health and fitness. I have nutritional products and skin products and mental, physical, just the whole spectrum of life I want to hit on. So I'm working on that presently on my website. I got a lot of exciting things coming up, some projects. I'm working with some producers here on conventions, women's conventions. I'm going to be on a panel in December with a local Miami producer and actress. So I got a lot going on. I do a lot of networking. And I hook up with really amazing people that are doing some great stuff, not only just with women, but people in general. My heart's big into the youth, not only because I have children, but I see, you know, it's tough on kids today. And the rise of suicides is just, forget it. It's ridiculous. And I want to help kids. I want to help our youth. And I really think as far as our age, you know, it's our responsibility, not just because we're parents, because our children, especially with social media, are losing their identities, and they're trying to find it in the wrong places. And they don't have the respect they have. They don't have the honor they had. I mean, you see the news, there's a lot of police are getting killed. That was unheard of when we were kids. It was respect. So I really want to start doing things with the youth as far as implementing that into my my life as far as helping them and reaching out to them.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I've got a segment of my practice deals with youth and youth offenders, you know, that's been a real fun area, because even the combative, oppositional, defiant youth will still listen to you a little bit. They'll listen to what you have to say, you know, and if you're not full of crap, then they'll listen. They might not do what you say, but, you know, at least they listen. And it's a whole lot of fun. Working with that segment, and that's just something that I never saw myself doing. Even in graduate school, I got forcedly there were two males in my class, okay, myself and Michael, and everybody else. And so they put, you know, all right, we need a male to go to this really abusive youth home or whatever. So it's like, okay. So they picked me, obviously, and so anyway, it was fun working with youth, and I thought I wouldn't do it again, but then I started working with youth again pretty regularly in the early 2000s. So it was, you know, I've just kept a youth segment of my practice going, so it's been fun.
And you never know that one thing that you say to them, even though you think they're not listening to you. You know, you never know that years down the line, that thing that you said to them is still resonating in their hearts, chiseling at their conscience. So sometimes when we think we're not making an impact on them, we actually are. So, and a lot of times these kids are shut down and they don't want to hear anything because they've never been able to trust anybody or they've never had anybody to listen. And that's one key of component in my life as a parent. I make it so, like, I open the doors for my kids to come to me with anything they want to talk about. And thank God my even my 15-year-old boy, I actually try to, you know, because he's at that age and wants to be with his friends, and I understand, but I actually take him out alone to just hang out with him, and I'm an ear. And it's very interesting when you start talking to him like a human being, letting him talk about what he likes, whether it be video games or anything, without saying, oh, I don't want to hear that. It's interesting to start listening to them. And the more I give that ear to them, that's of what that's important to them. My gosh, my relationship has gone, like, changed with my 15-year-old. Like, he really, him and I are really close. And it's so awesome because for teenagers, you know, most people say to me, you have teenagers. Oh my gosh, it must be so stressful having three kids. And honestly, I can't say it's not stressful sometimes, but for the most part, I believe that because of my children seeing the way I was and my mindset of being so beat up and depressed, and just even I looked older, 10, 20 years ago, I looked older. And seeing my transformation mentally and physically and spiritually, my kids have changed. So instead of trying to change our kids, I learned that I need to change myself first. And that's even more encouraging for me to keep going and getting better every single day. And I make mistakes, but I really try to spend at least a half an hour in meditation and prayer and just searching my heart and finding those things if I messed up. And really humbling myself, coming to terms with it, and being responsible enough, even if I have to go to my kids and say, listen, I'm sorry I said that, I did that. And because of that, my relationship is just transformed with my kids. So I know it's possible, but it starts with us as parents and as adults to make that impact within ourselves. And then it starts affecting the people around us, and that being our children and our youth.
Exactly. So how do you think your kids have changed? I know you said you made some changes. You're more empowered now. How did your kids change with you in that process from what to what, you think?
Just how they act. They're so much calmer. Where they would be screaming and yelling in the house, and the way they would talk to each other and everything, or how they would even talk to me, what they would say, not terrible, but disrespectful and just out of order. And they don't do that anymore. You know, where I would react in a wrong way, you know, in response to the way they were acting, was getting us nowhere. Now when they've seen me responding little by little, because, you know, the kids watch, they're consistent. All right, mom's calm for now. Wait till she's, you know, another day, and she's going to be screaming and losing her mind. But when they start seeing that consistency, you know, they start getting calmer. And I just see how mature they are. Like, my daughter came with me to this convention that I went to. It was like 300 people and mostly women. And I got asked to speak, and I went on stage, and I was like a little nervous. And my daughter looked at me and she said, Mom, you were born to do this. You got this, Mom. Don't you worry about anything. And to see her sitting there, like, my kids act with such manners. I get compliments all the time. I'm so honored. And my daughter was sitting there, and her eyes were glowing, and she was looking at me. And I'm telling you, I can't even tell you how good that felt to see my daughter. And the way she said it, she was so sincere about it. I said, my gosh, she's turning into a woman, a good lady, you know, good girl. And I know I'm doing something right, you know. And I got a little 11-year-old, too. Actually, he's out sick today. He's in the other room. And he's as cute as a button. Oh, my gosh. He's so cute. But Yeah, it's just awesome. I just love being a mom. And I think I know God put these three children in my life to really catapult me to my destiny, my purpose and destiny. And not that I would have been a bad person or anything, but I definitely wouldn't have been as awesome as a person as I am now because of them.
Well, it sounds like that's part of that accountability thing. You know what I mean? You're holding them accountable, and you're accountable to them in terms of you're not going to abdicate your role as a parent. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be the best parent you can be.
Yeah, and not put any unnecessary stress on them, because they, in this society we have in right now, it's hard enough for kids. You know, our society is a lot different than from when we were kids. And I want to be a protector, and I want to be supportive, but I also want to be their friend. And disciplinary, of course, disciplinary friend, but I want to be there for them. And I want to be that example in it. And it keeps me in check with who I am, and to just get better and better.
At least for 7 more years, right?
Just yes. Kidding. And then I can, be as bad as I want after they leave.
There you go. You'd be close to.
Wow. What happened to you, Mom?
You'll be like, "Hey man, that's my favorite line, man. I tell people I'm going to be 60 in 4.5 years. That sobers them up. Like, what, you know, like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know, but it's like a threat. So,
well, listen, I started late. I had my 11-year-old when I was 40. So
okay.
I better be in shape. I better be in shape. I got to bring, you know, I bring them for tennis. We play. We go. I'm bringing my kids to work out now. So that keeps me on the go, too, you know, keeping my kids in shape.
If I ever get to Florida, I'll be wearing my George Costanza Timberlands here. I'm just over 6 feet. I'm gonna need every. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be toe to toe here, sitting next to you, standing next to you. Make sure you wear flats if we ever meet, okay?
But, no, I'll definitely wear heels.
Look at that! Oh my God, be 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, usually.
Maybe 6'3". Oh, my goodness. I have to wear some cowboy boots or something. That's what I'll have to do. It's my only hope. But but seriously. And I think, I'm bringing that up for a reason. I mean, your presence, I think your physical presence says a lot, I think, in terms of how you've, you know, worked on yourself physically, if you will, you know what I mean? Health, physical health and stuff like that. So I think, I'm thinking that makes a statement as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Cause your outer appearance reflects on who you are inside. And, not only just my physical, but how I carry myself. Because many years back, I had a chip on my shoulder, and I was a very angry, angry kid. And, you know, like I said, I lived in a neighborhood that was very tough, and I moved away from all my friends. And here I was living with my grandparents. I actually had my cousin living with me. I had an uncle with me. They had me, all these people in my family living in one house. And, you know, my mom was working. My grandparents did the best they could. And, you know, that chip, and it took, you know, I can even remember how I was, and it was like, oh my gosh, like people were scared to be around me. I mean, just imagine, I was always muscular, and then I'm angry. Even though I had that sweetness, I had the sweetness, but then I had this like, oh, don't mess with me, you know? And it prevented me from a lot of things. From achieving a lot of things, you know, and now that I'm not like that, I mean, I hold my own, but when I walk in a room, I have a smile on my face, you know, I have that confidence, and You know, I don't talk to everybody. You know, I choose who I'm going to talk to. I'm going to talk to them. It's just like it's a whole different world when your outer appearance matches who you are inside. And then you can really impact people in a whole new level. So that's where I am now, where I don't walk around with that chip anymore. I don't walk around with that anger. And I'm open to meeting the right people and talking to the right people and helping the people, you know, which I couldn't do back then. It would have been afraid of me. So,
you're staying away from the narcissist type of thing.
I wasn't a narcissist, but I dated one, but we're not going to go in there. We're not going to go there.
I had to throw that out there.
That's another story. Oh, my goodness. If you can survive a narcissist, my gosh, you can survive just about anything.
There you go. I had to throw that out there.
I'll do a special just on narcissists. Don't worry, I'm a specialist.
I'm telling you what, we'll have some listeners there, especially. More of your photographs that'll bring them right on out. You know what I mean? But anyway, but seriously, that was funny. That was funny. You know, but like you said, you know, the narcissist or the self-centered person can really just suck somebody dry, just suck the life out of them. You know what I mean?
What's interesting is it's not by accident a person attracts them in their life. I mean, there's characteristics that these narcissists look for. And if you fit the part, they're going to come to you. And I find now that I've been through, and not just because I can identify them, they don't even come around me anymore because I have that strength that I didn't have. Right. They don't even come near me because they know that I don't fit that mold of that person that they try to come to.
And I remember you telling me you were calling out some of your lady friends or acquaintances that were talking about the narcissist, and you're like, hey, you know what I mean? Water seeks its own level. If you didn't have X, then why wouldn't, you know, then this other thing wouldn't be coming your way. So that's a good point. You know what I mean? I think that.
Yeah, you're attracting them. Something in you is attracting that law of attraction. And you got to ask yourself, what is it? You know, and I believe it's lack of self-love, self-worth. Is number one, because that's when I attracted them, is at that right. place. And you know,
it's like blood in the water for a shark, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you fit the mold to be dragged through the mud.
There you go. Well, man, I couldn't think of a better way to wind up the show than with narcissism talk and all that good stuff, man. What a great way to wind up. So how can folks, I know you have a fantastic Instagram that's up and running. So tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
It's very easy. My Instagram is fitness4. And joy, fitness for joy. I also have a Facebook, fitness for joy as well. And as I had mentioned before, I'm going to have an amazing website that I'm working on right now with really awesome tools for people to take advantage of.
There you go. They got to get it on the ground floor while you're still in the beginning of your progression. So awesome. Yeah. So, well, thanks for coming on the show today, Joy, man. It's such a pleasure to have you on, and man, we'll try to get you on here maybe 6 or so months from now and check in and see where you're at with your activities and coaching and speaking, and we'll be exciting to see what opportunities come to you. So again, thanks for coming today.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It was quick, wasn't it? It was a quick show.
I can keep talking if you keep asking me stuff. I won't keep motoring.
I tell you what, next time, we'll bring you back on. So, all right, folks. Well, there it is. Another exciting show on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Come by the latalkradio.com site. Our shows are archived there. And Justin and I have our own show page. Also, come see us on iTunes. Our shows are there for you for free. And you can listen to any of our prior shows for free on iTunes. And that's a marvelous thing. And come by and see us on Instagram at The Concierge Coaches. We have The Concierge Coaches Facebook page, The Concierge Coaches LinkedIn. And my Instagram's at bcameron2. And I can be reached at my core site at conciergecoach.net. So everybody have a great and blessed week, and we'll see you here next week, same time, same channel on LA Talk Radio. Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.